Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
Hello. My name is Nigo Montoya.
Wait.
You.
Jean.
What? The Princess Bride? Come on.
No.
Okay.
That was Jean. Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are going to discuss traumatic brain injuries, or TBIs.
Wait a minute, what? Who's today's guest? Unbelievable. Okay, welcome to another round of What's Wrong with Jean Marie.
Hi, Jean.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
Okay, so Jean, what is a traumatic brain injury?
I don't know. What's a traumatic brain injury with you? Okay. Well, a traumatic brain injury is one form of acquired brain injury, and an acquired brain injury refers to damage done to the brain after birth.
So when you hear the phrase acquired brain injury, ABI, it might refer to a stroke, a concussion, meningitis, or any other brain injury from something that you were not born with?
Yeah, pretty much. Damage to the brain caused by a stroke or meningitis, those would both be considered non-traumatic, or in oversimplified terms, not due to a blow to the head, whereas traumatic brain injuries like concussions are the result of an injury or a blow to the head.
Right. So TBIs are caused by an external force or injury, and those brain injuries that are caused by an illness or non-hereditary disease are referred to as non-traumatic.
Right. And they're both forms of acquired brain injury. And the signs and symptoms of a TBI can vary widely.
True. I suppose we should say that the brain is like your body's CPU. It's a very complex organ located in the head.
And among the brain's many functions are its ability to interpret sensory input, thought, reasoning, balance, and many other vital and life-sustaining processes.
Jean, as our guest today, you had a traumatic brain injury. Tell us about that.
Well, a long time ago, in a land far, far away.
No more stories.
Okay, Jean, fine. About 18 years ago, I sustained a traumatic brain injury while on active duty with the U.S. Army. A portion of my brain popped out of my skull and into the area where the spinal cord connects to the brain at the base. And at the same time, the top of my spine kind of wedged against my brainstem, almost cutting it in half.
So you got peanut butter in your chocolate and chocolate in your peanut butter?
Yeah, sure, you can joke. Pretty much everything got squished.
Wow, that sounds pretty serious, not to joke around.
Yeah. Well, at the time, I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. I thought I was going to be okay. I was in a lot of pain, but I was put on some really heavy pain medication. And I thought kind of that I just needed to rest or recover.
But that wasn't the case.
I had trouble breathing. I would stop breathing at night. My neck and face muscles started to atrophy. My balance was total crap. And speaking of crap, didn't have a lot of bowel or bladder control. I was falling over or passing out multiple times throughout the day. I was choking on food. I had terrible headaches all the time. I had trouble finding the correct words and communicate my thoughts, or the correct words to communicate my thoughts even. And it wasn't fun.
Well, Jean, can you tell our listeners what your healthcare team decided to do?
So after several years of not really knowing what was going on, one of the physicians who was in charge of my care requested a brain and C-spine MRI series, and right away they saw what was going on.
You just said after several years of not...
Yep.
Knowing what's going on? They didn't catch that right away?
No. You know what? I was kind of in a black hole of medical care. So I was, my lead team in charge of my medical care was a physician's assistant at a military post, not close to my home. And then I was receiving therapy, like physical therapy and things, at a post that is close to my home. But they were not in charge of my care. So when the physician's assistant in charge of my care decided that I was stable and that I could be discharged from the military, the team of doctors who were seeing me on a regular basis said, well, okay, first of all, you're not stable. You're getting worse. Second of all, we don't even know what's going on. And third, why haven't they done a complete series of MRIs, at least, because of, you know, like they could see that the problem wasn't just in the lower part of my neck, which is where the other team was saying all the focus was. They said this is a much bigger problem because of my issues with breathing, swallowing, digestion, everything, my heart rate, everything, my blood pressure. And then they could physically see that part of my face and my neck, the muscles there were losing tone on half of my body. So when they did, they said, you know what, before anything happened, we need to do a series of MRIs just to take a look. And when they saw that, they said I was lucky to be alive and that I needed emergency or immediate surgical intervention.
Okay. What I guess I'm not getting out of all of this, we've done a few different podcasts mm-hmm. on different illnesses where, like we just did lupus a little while ago, and there really is nothing there that pinpoints that they have lupus. It's just a series of things that aren't working right. What was going on with you literally was in black and white when they took...
If they would have taken the pictures to look at.
Or, but, you know, it was the team that was heading my care was I wasn't near them. I did not see them on a regular basis. It was kind of a backward system.
Sounds that way. I would just assume after an injury that you sustained, the first thing they would do would be take pictures.
Nope. Right. They thought it was a sprained neck.
They took X-rays.
Yeah, they took X-rays.
And they released me to go home, which they shouldn't have done. Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, you'll read about it in the book.
Okay. So, with all of this going on, you wound up having surgery, I hope.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was kind of odd too, but it's a whole military thing and not really a medical thing. Yes, I saw a very good surgeon who deals with this on a daily basis and does the surgery multiple times throughout the week. And he removed a piece at the base of my skull, this bone there, and part of the top couple of vertebra in my neck. And they also removed some of the scar tissue around my brain. And right away, they saw that the cerebral spinal fluid was able to flow. And they said, it as soon as they removed that, everything seemed to work better. And even they gave me a bit of wiggle room at the base of my skull by grafting in extra tissue there.
And you did see some improvement, but many of your symptoms continued.
Correct. After a few years later and after a whole bunch of additional surgical procedures, a lot of PT and OT and other therapies, I had another procedure during which they implanted a couple of metal bars and a whole bunch of screws to connect or fuse my neck and my skull. And the hardware basically helps keep my head up.
And that procedure took 7 hours, even though I was expecting it to last 4 to 5. And my heart skipped a beat when the surgeon walked up to me following the surgery with tears in his eyes. Also, your surgeon should never start by saying it took longer than we expected because your daughter died.
Oh, Mom, I'm so sorry you had to go through that.
It was a bad situation in a waiting room. He said they accidentally cut an artery, so you bled out, and they had to pour blood back in quickly and restart your ticker.
That's horrible.
Yeah, I don't remember any of it. So.
Well, no, you were asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, after his...
Poor dad.
After his initial apologetic explanation of what took so long, the doctor quickly added, but she's okay now. And I knew that my daughter, the superwoman, had pushed through another challenge.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, after a lot more physical therapy, speech therapy, balance therapy, and a lot more that you don't want to hear about, things are much better.
But you still have medical problems.
Well, yes. My body has difficulty adjusting or controlling my blood pressure and pulse. So I still tend to fall over or pass out and fall over. I still choke or aspirate food or liquids. And I still get migraines. But now they're somewhat controlled. About 8 months out of the year, they're slightly controlled because I get Botox for migraines on a quarterly basis. And the results for that last about 3 months. And then the pain gets much worse during that last month leading up to the next Botox appointment. So shots, relief, build up pain. Repeat.
Well, let me ask, what about motor functions, memory, things like that, all things that we associate with brain activity when you have TBI?
Yeah. For me, I do have some problems. My memory isn't as good as it used to be. And my, for motor functions, I have difficulty holding on to things, especially with my left hand. So I get nervous when I'm holding glass or something of that nature. And yeah, I've dropped my cell phone more times than I can count. I got to start, you know, try to remember to keep it in my right hand. And then, yeah, it's just, it's something you do get used to. But I went from being an officer in the military, planning on outranking my parents and having a good civilian job in addition to that. And, you know, I was a student in college and the whole thing, to not being able to do anything. And that was very, very rough. And it took a long time to get from there to where I am today.
And actually, the I do remember, don't remember a lot, but I do remember one of the neurosurgeons or neurologists saying that when you have, oh, I think it was the shoulder guy, when you have a damaged nerve, if it's a major nerve, let's say that that nerve was damaged for 10 years, expect it to take twice that long to recover once they relieve the pressure or do the repair to the nerve. So if you're, the initial problem was 3 years ignored completely and then repaired partially for the next 4 or 5 years. So now we got, let's say, 8 years, so twice that, 16 years. So I think that you'll be back to normal in about 2050.
Okay.
Is my math wrong?
Well, okay. I'm not going to comment on
your math
ability.
I don't know, but you blew me out of water with that one.
Okay. But, yeah, so.
But it does sound like you're on the road to recovery. They've found what the issues are, and they've done the procedures, and now you're going through the rehabbing process.
For the most part. Some things they you know, aren't going to be ever 100%, but I am able to mitigate a few things with medication and such.
Speaking of medication, were you considering the medical cannabis going through this period of time?
Yeah, we have to get back on that.
Yeah, maybe. There's room in the greenhouse. I mean, wait, what? Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay. Well, yeah, because the Botox only lasts for like 3 months. You can only get it every quarter. So then that last month, it just kind of like wanes away and then you're miserable. So, you know, that would be a good month for the medical cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could try it.
All right.
Okay, anything else that helped you get through all of this?
Yes. And I don't want to, you know, say that specific products are better than others. But for me, my espresso machine has been a godsend.
And your what?
The espresso machine.
Oh, coffee.
Coffee. But in addition to that, surgery on the spine and the back of the head can be a bit rough. And many surgical procedures are difficult to recover from. And I found that a electric lift chair that can help you sit and stand is priceless, especially after surgery. And they will deliver those to hotel rooms and such, and you can rent them by the day, week, month, or year, or by your own. And then also a chair lift, although I ended up moving to this lovely ranch home, there is a basement, and it's hard for me to get up and down those stairs without causing more injury. So that's another thing that's wonderful. Also, a shower chair can be very helpful. I love Invisia bathroom products, and that's a weird statement to say, but they have support bars and grab bars that are elegant and fit into my design aesthetic. So it doesn't look like, oh, this is a handicapped bathroom. It just looks like it is a bathroom that's beautifully designed, and it works really well for me. I also really like the Karma Wheelchair Company. They make chairs that can support your head and neck at all different heights, which is really wonderful. Yeah, and the guy who designed the Karma wheelchair is an engineer, and he designed it so that even a child could lift the chair into
a
vehicle.
It's titanium, I think.
Or aluminum.
I thought it was aluminum. I don't know. It's very lightweight.
It's recyclable. It's very lightweight. It's easy to travel with.
And it reclines.
Oh, yes, it reclines.
How many wheelchairs do you know recline?
Right.
Not very many.
Yeah.
Although the brake and the recline button kind of look the same. So a lot of times when people would try to put on the brakes, I'd all end up laying down.
Just out of curiosity, what does something like that cost?
It was a gift.
It was a gift.
Thank you,
Tawani. Although wheelchairs are very expensive.
That's where I'm going.
But it isn't really all that expensive because of the materials. It's made out of the straps that you have, like that seatbelt material. So it's lightweight, and then the cushions pop out, and it's, I mean, in terms of wheelchairs, it's not all that expensive. I also have to say, if you have a neurological condition, a neuro-ophthalmologist can be very helpful. I see double of it, you know, when I look at something. So I wear glasses that have prisms in them so that I can read and everything, which is really nice. I also love trekking poles. When you're going to board an airplane or deboard an airplane?
Deplane.
Okay.
Okay. Long show.
I could do it.
Yeah. That's a different show, Lita.
Okay.
The little wheelchair that they wheel you down in can be rough and unsettling, especially it's really
bouncy,
hard to get over. Yeah,
head.
All those bumps.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can walk with trekking poles that give me increased mobility.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't put the strain on my shoulders and things that a walker would. And also you don't have that forward bending motion. So you can actually stand up straight. And you also can put some swing into your arms, which is good for your overall health. So I really love trekking poles. I also really like my Cat Trike, which is a recumbent bicycle. It gives me the freedom to get out and run around and, you know, feel the breeze in my hair and see, you know, outdoors. And that's an amazing, that was also a gift from Road to Recovery.
And Tawani.
Thank you, Tawani. And I have a bar for exercise.
Oh, I was going to say a bar.
No, not that kind of bar.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I have a bar for exercising so that I can feel supported and I don't have to worry about getting dizzy. And then, of course, amazing friends and family. Without them, I wouldn't be here today.
Well,
thank you so much for joining our show.
Yes.
Your show.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for being a guest once again.
I think we're guests on her show.
Yeah, I think that's it. This is the Jean Show.
No, let's not do that.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star rating or review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Until next week.